610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli is here producing, and we are with you again until 10 o'clock. Right here on 97.5, The Fanatic, talking some birds, getting into a lot of Carson Wentz. We'll talk about, after we take our phone call with Lance, we'll talk a little bit about some of the injuries that are going on with the birds right now as they prepare for the Los Angeles Rams. See where they are with everything. See what we're looking for on Sunday. It is 9 o'clock here on this Thursday night. On this Thursday, football Thursday night, 610-632-0975. So we won't make Lance wait too much longer. Let's go to Lance now and check in with him on the Philadelphia Eagles. What's up, Lance?
What's up, Devon? So I have a Sixers thing at the end of this.
Yeah, sure.
So I hear people talk about Carson Wentz, like, oh, we need to move on from that. That's the discussion. What quarterback in the NFL besides Russell Wilson has looked good with a bad offensive line? Like, think about that for a second. There's not many quarterbacks behind really bad offensive lines that tend to look good. Like, I look at this way. I'm betting at some point in time Carson Wentz is getting hit so often, he just decided, you know what, I'm going to think more about the pass rush coming after me and just start getting rid of the ball. And some of those throws wound up being bad throws because he's worried about the pass rush instead of looking down the field and seeing what he's seeing. Like, that's a problem. And then your mechanics start to go to crap if you're worried about the pass rush coming and you're just trying to get the ball out and protect yourself. So that's another issue.
No, you hope that what he is doing, and the whole part of it is just being smart in general and being smart and seeing what's available to you, man, and being careful with the football overall. You just don't want to make too many mistakes where it's going to hurt your team, especially when you're down some big, big people, man.
Well, I look at it this way. It's hard to win in the NFL when you're healthy. It's really hard to win in the NFL when you're down 7 starters going into a game. I don't care how bad Washington is on offense. If you have a good defensive line, you can keep yourself into games because you can wreck the other team's play, especially if the other team's offensive line is not very good. But the thing that people aren't talking about right now, that they should be talking about, when it was 17-17, the Eagles' defense was on the field, there was a 3rd and 8 and a 3rd and 9. And what happened? They gave up 10 yards and they gave up 8 yards. They allowed that drive to continue so they could go up by 7. That's been a problem the last 3 years. Like, people aren't talking about that, but this defense, yeah, they only gave up 239 yards. But when it's a critical moment in a game and they need to make a play and get off the field, they still haven't yet proven that. Like, last year they had that problem. Go back to Tennessee in that overtime game in 2018, they had that problem. This has been a consistent problem with Jim Schwartz. So I look at it and I say this, everyone's upset about the offense, and rightfully so. They should be upset about the offense. The defense, when it comes to crunch time, they still can't figure a way to get off the field. That's a problem. Like, you're going to face that when you play better offenses, and yet they still can't do it.
When you look at the defense and what they did or didn't do, to your point, do you really put that much on them, being that they were put in a tough spot with the short field?
I'm not saying the defense was the biggest culprit there, but if you can't get off the field on a 3rd and 8 or a 3rd and 9, and you're giving up first downs on those type of situations and crunch moments of the game in the fourth quarter, that speaks to the fact that's been the problem the last 2 years for the defense. Like, this isn't something new. If it was something new, I'd be like, oh, it's week one or that. But this has been steadily going on since 2018, 2019, and now you're at this point. And not only that, where were they in the red zone? Like, they were
that is true.
3 or 4 in the red zone. They were 3 or 4 in the red zone. And the only reason why it was 3 or 4 is because Washington gave them the possession up because they were up by 10 and the clock was running out and they just tried to, like, run out the clock. So really, it was 3 of 3. So they didn't really step up in the red zone either. It's just, it gets overshadowed because the offense was so horrific from the end of the second quarter onward that's the reality of it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And what's your Sixers point?
So this talk about D'Antoni, frankly, they hired D'Antoni. There's two things. Either they're so stupid that they don't realize that they don't have pieces that really realistically fit, especially Joel Embiid. He doesn't fit. Or they're planning on trading Joel Embiid because he doesn't fit that system at all to get a bunch of shooters to fit D'Antoni's system. Because I look at it this way. The Knicks and the Lakers tried to hire D'Antoni, and they didn't have the right pieces to fit that system, and D'Antoni wasn't there very long. So if you do that and you think he's just going to adjust his system to the guys that you have, it's a pretty laughable thing because it's not going to work.
Well, I'm curious to see how that whole thing plays out, man, and starting to hear some. I'm encouraged to hear some names that we can now go back and forth on when it comes to someone like him or Ty Lue and their system, and of course the personnel that the Sixers do have here.
Who's your guy that you go? I personally like Sam Cassell because I think he's new. He's been in the league, and I think he commands respect. But I also like Billy Donovan. But the thing is, I don't know if Billy Donovan's going to command that type of stuff. I thought he did his best coaching job this year. But, like, I don't know if he's the type of guy that's going to make Ben Simmons get it. And I don't know if he's the type of guy that's going to make Joel Embiid get it. So I'm not sure he's the right fit from that aspect.
Yeah, I have my questions about everyone, to be honest with you. I mean, my number one was Dave Yeager. That's kind of fallen to the wayside at this point. Well, not really, because they haven't hired anyone, but we don't hear his name since the first few days of the firing of Brett Brown. Now we're hearing D'Antoni much more. Of course, Ty Lue still has a little bit of buzz left to him, and a little bit of some other stuff like Jason Kidd. But Sam Cassell, I wouldn't be mad, Lance. Thanks for the call. I wouldn't be mad if that was the call, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be mad. It is something different. He does command respect. He has three titles as a player, has been around some winning teams, organizations with Washington when they were winning, and Los Angeles with the Clippers now. So I get it. I get it. I really do. I get it with Sam Cassell. Not the first time that it's been brought up with you, Lance, or there have been a few others that have brought up Sam Cassell as well, and I'm not upset about that name at all. 610-632-0975. I wonder if that's the name that we should watch out for Houston now that Mike D'Antoni is gone. I wonder that. Yep, I wonder that. 610-632-0975. Sam Cassell? Do you have an opinion on Sam Cassell, Tyler?
I don't know enough about Sam Cassell to have an opinion on him. I mean, I know what Sam Cassell, the player, like his, what he was able to do. And I think if that translates probably pretty well to a head coaching job, I would believe that to be the case. I don't know enough about him from a coaching standpoint to give you a definitive answer one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of, I always go back to the question that you pose, and I've heard this question from other people as well. Why is he not getting an opportunity?
Yeah, and that could be interviews. That could be the whole conversation of the minority thing. All there are a bunch of things that are in play here for it.
So I think that for me to be as, I guess, uniform as possible, I would lean towards no. And the reason that I would lean towards no is because he doesn't have the head coaching experience.
Huh.
I need somebody with head coaching experience. I think that I have to get somebody in that position that has coached before.
Okay.
Now, I know that everybody that's available has either been fired or has been, let go or whatever it might be.
Right, right.
But, that's going to be the case with any coach that you hire.
Yes.
In any sport. The likelihood that they're either
recycle,
retread, whatever you want to call them, that's what I would go with as somebody that's got experience.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, I went Yeager. That's just my own personal preference. His name is very, very quiet right now. So I might be wrong on that one. I might be wrong on that one when it comes to Dave Yeager. I guess I'm the only one that liked Dave Yeager. His name was brought up in the very beginning, though. So it's not like I'm just pulling something out of thin air. Dave Yeager is one of those recycled coaches that Tyler is talking about, and I just so happen to like him. It's my own personal opinion. I'm allowed. Well, I can like Dave Yeager if I want.
I think that people use those terms as almost a hindrance on a coach.
The recycle?
Yeah, recycle, retread.
Because that's what it is.
It is what it is.
That's what professional sports is with all of these coaches,
right.
Managers. They're all the same. And yes, from time to time, you'll pull one out of the hat and it'll work for you in whatever sport. And even when you go to the college ranks, I mean, we know the top people, so it's not like they can't go out there and have success. It's not a recycled name in a sense of, if we had to go to college ranks, who would we pluck from college?
Yes.
All right, Billy Donovan. Years. He took the Orlando job, and then he took it back. He said, no, I'm not going. Went back to Florida, and eventually they decided Sam Presti was able to pull him out of Florida, and he's had some really good years with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We saw it. It was good. Good for him. Right? Good for him. Will it work here? It could. He's worked with the big man in Steven Adams. Could work here for Billy Donovan with the 76ers. The thing that Lance is bringing up with D'Antoni and the system. Again, here's my thing with D'Antoni and his system. Yes, he has his system. Yes, he has his system. My only thing is, look, and I understand the warts that are with Joel Embiid. I always say this. Joel Embiid is just different. He's Joel Embiid. Maybe Mike D'Antoni just hasn't had a Joel Embiid. Maybe.
I think that that's fair.
To work it in the half court, because the three-point stuff we see, it, of course, it bogs down. Especially if you're missing, Simmons is not going to shoot threes. Embiid can shoot them. They will allow him to do it. The other three around them need to shoot threes. But then you also are going to have to make sure that you can get a good look at the basket in the half-court set, especially in the playoffs, and punish them down low and get the three-pointer the old-fashioned way for your basketball team. And that's something that we believe, we've seen, Joel Embiid could do. Now, he has to, of course, do all the stuff that we talk about, being the best shape of his life and all of those things. That would be fantastic for him to be in the best shape of his life. That would be great. That would be helpful. Okay, that would be helpful. So we shall see. 610-632-0975. If they did the D'Antoni thing, it will give us something to talk about. Boy, I tell you.
Well, for sure.
It will give us something to discuss.
You know what my biggest issue if they hire D'Antoni is? And it's not, the scheme is like that first step, right? It's like the first conversation starter. But it's not the biggest issue that I have.
Okay.
You just laid out a whole bunch of things that might happen if Mike D'Antoni comes and coaches the Sixers. And I have to look back on all of this and I go, there are too many what ifs, maybes. If this happens, then I feel like I'm programming and, you know, like doing computer programming. If this, then this.
Right, right.
I can't allow for another year or another 3 years or another however many years to say if Joel Embiid gets into the best shape of his life, if Ben Simmons is a willing jump shooter, doesn't have to be good, but willing, if Tobias Harris becomes a viable, like a legitimate number two option on the scoring side of things, if I just, there's too many of them for me.
I would love to see what they do with the roster, considering that you're going to need some more shooting out there. It starts with the draft, of course. That'll be first, and then free agency. But draft is now in November, I believe November 18th. They've changed it, so a month from the October 18th number that was there before. So I cannot wait to see exactly what they do with the roster if Mike D'Antoni is the call and the direction that they decide to go to, because that is going to be scouring the trades and seeing if you can move on from Al Horford. Are you going to target a shooter in the draft? You want to lock down your coach before you get to the draft, ideally, and of course match it up with your general manager and Elton Brand and see if he and the front office can all come together with the head coach and figure out a roster direction for this basketball team. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, talking some birds. Little Sixers thing that Lance threw in there, and Mike in Florida wants to continue that conversation here on The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
I wasn't really listening at the time when these rumors surfaced, but I just don't understand. How can the Sixers hire Ty Lue as a coach? I mean, it's the guy that AI stepped over in the finals. It's embarrassing.
That'd give you something to talk about, Mike.
I mean, I don't know who the right candidate is. I don't know if Embiid or Simmons fit. They both seem immature, but, I mean, just the thought of Ty Lue as their coach is laughable.
Why is that? Because of the step over? I don't think that has to do with anything.
I mean, if you're a player for the Philadelphia 76ers and you know the history of our team, I mean, AI embarrassed that guy. I mean,
Will we care if he comes in here and wins the championship?
No, but I mean, do you really think that's something that's going to happen?
I don't know.
He won with the Cavaliers.
Yeah, he won with the Cavaliers, so he has some credibility that he's been to three straight finals and won one.
I don't know, man. I'm not sold on that guy at all. I don't know how you don't have to be either.
So who would your choice be?
I don't know. I was trying to think of that while I was on hold, but to be honest, I mean, I haven't even thought of the option of Sam Cassell, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of pessimistic about all the sports in Philly right now. It sucks.
I hear you, man. It's a lot of doom and gloom, and we'll update. Mike, thanks for the call, man. We'll update the people on the Phillies and see where they are, because they were winning 5-3 when I last checked. Bryce Harper just hit his second home run of the night, and he crushed that thing. So give us an update now. Where are we with the Phillies?
On the Phillies?
Yeah, we'll get you.
By the way, those two home runs for Bryce Harper, I believe went a combined distance of 831 feet.
Okay.
Crushed one into the second deck. Okay. But to give you an update, it's the bottom of the fifth. Phillies currently lead 6-3, something we've not seen in a really long time.
Yes.
Aaron Nola gave up three runs in the top of the first inning. The Phillies came back with four in the bottom of the first.
Four.
Including back-to-back home runs.
And they almost had the fourth one that I read. I think Megan had it on Twitter that they almost had the fourth one too, Ty. Yeah.
It's a good start.
Look at that.
By the way.
Crushing it out there.
Getting the Ty Lue, he couldn't have it because
the step over.
Yeah, Doug Peterson in his 1 year as an Eagles coach or Eagles quarterback was 2-7, and he threw 9 interceptions in 9 games.
I could not care.
Couldn't care less about their playing career.
If he stepped on his face, If he stepped on his face, I could not care any less. If that man can help them win a title, I do not care. Not to mention the fact that I'm sure he and Allen will have a fun little time with that, where, you know, the sense of humor is in play now because of just that. It's legendary. Not only here, but the whole basketball world knows about that. I've heard that joke a bunch of times. People, I'm sorry. I could not care any less about that. You can't hire him because he was stepped over by Allen Iverson. So what? What does that mean exactly? What does that mean? All right. You know what you do? Derek Hayes, great in arena entertainment stuff that he puts on the Jumbotron. You put that up there for fun. You tell Ty Lue about it. Allen, when he's at the games, when we're back, allowed to be back in the buildings throughout the sports, right? You have fun with it. And I'm sure they would.
Then you go out and win games.
Care about that?
Not even a little bit.
I care about that for?
If Ty Lue can help you win a championship, then I hope they play it every game on the Jumbotron for the rest of his coaching career.
I do not care about that. All right? All right. 610-632-0975. I mean, come on, please, man. Care about that? All right, you stepped over him. So what? It's legendary. We got it. It's fantastic. I love it. I love it just like you love it. And now we'll see it a lot more because he would be your coach. So stop it, please, people. If you want to make a joke about it, let's make a joke about it. All right, that's cool and all. But for you to say that you don't want him because of that, I'm out. I'm out on that. I'm telling you right now, if you call in with that, I'm out.
Something that happened on our way to 20 years ago.
Yes. No, and it's great.
June of 2002, I guess, or 2001?
It's 2001.
2001,
don't get me wrong, where it's something that is brought, every time I see it, and now it's in memes and all, right, where people change the faces and all that stuff. Now people might do some different things with it if he's here. Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. Get us to a title. And when I say us, I'm saying Philadelphia. That's right. I am saying Philadelphia, get us to a title. That's what I'm saying. And yeah, you know, I do.
Sponsored by your number one Philadelphia resident Phoenix Suns fan.
That's right. But hey, I mean, we're the broadcast partner. We're the home of the 76ers. I do my stuff with them from time to time, right? I want to see them win. I want to see everyone here win. Get us that title, Ty Lue. Have at it, man. Let's do it. Oh, that one drives me crazy. And I heard it from people here too, right? Bringing it up on the air. I support my family here. Well, you know what family do? Sometimes you rib each other because you say some crazy things. That is crazy to me. That is crazy to me. I don't care about the step over. It's legendary. I love it. Fantastic. But it has nothing to do with that man being hired if he is the one that can win you, help you lead this team to a title, tap into the things that Embiid and Simmons need to improve on and get you a championship. Please. Come on. Stop it with that. Oh, man. 610-632-0975. Pat, we'll get to you and everybody else that's on hold. So sit tight, man. We want to give you all your time when we return. Don't want to rush your phone call. We'll give you the update again on the Philadelphia Eagles and their injuries as we get ready for the Los Angeles Rams. And we'll give you a poll update also. And we'll give you a Phillies update before we get out of here and a basketball update too. You know how we like to do that towards the end of the show. 610-632-0975. Pat, hang on. Everybody else behind Pat, we'll get to you as well. 610-632-0975. Final segment upcoming right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. It looks like game two of the Eastern Conference playoffs, the Eastern Conference Finals, is coming to a close right now. Miami up with a 5-point lead. Tyler, they do it again. They do it again. They're down huge. Huge. And then they come back. They score 37 in the third quarter. And at the half, I'm trying to remember as I look at it. Matter of fact, when I look at it right now, it was 60-47 at the half. Yeah, 60-47 at the half. And they do it again. Miami.
They don't quit, man.
I mean, look, the game's not over.
They don't quit.
The game is not over. I'm just saying. They just know how to. They don't panic. They do not panic. 610-632-0975. Get to some of this other stuff with the Birds, Phillies, and they will let you know what the conclusion of this game brings us with the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. But first, let's go to Patrick in Warminster, as promised, here on The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
I'm gonna kick you off.
Yeah. What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. It's just that last caller, when you're talking about AI crossing up Tyronn Lue, ain't got nothing to do with coach. I mean, I personally, I don't want Lue as a coach just because I don't think he really, you know, LeBron was basically the coach, you know, for that team.
Well, we have to be fair. It was 3 years that they went to the finals. So,
he did something. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I can't really say, you know, too much about it because Spoelstra, you know, went with him too and is proving himself to, you know, be a decent coach without LeBron.
Oh, one of the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, AI crossed up, you know, how many dudes back in the day? Like, you know, I remember watching that game. I was 11 years old. So, like, that ain't got nothing to do with anything. But I also wanted to talk about everyone jumping on Wentz. Like, I mean, if you want, like, they forget, how we even got to the Super Bowl. Like, Foles, you know, finished the job, which, you know, I'm not talking smack about Foles, but, you know, everyone forgets what Wentz did. He got us the number one seed. He was MVP candidate that year. Like, I don't know. I figured people would just...
No, I bring that up, too, and that's a good point, in my opinion, Pat, because we cannot forget about what led to it. Right? The work that he did, 11-2 when he went down. Yes, Foles came in to finish out the game against the Rams, and then, of course, the season and ultimately the Super Bowl. But we can't ignore what he did, and what he did was tremendous.
And I appreciate, you know, what Foles did, but let's be honest, like, he had no pressure.
Oh, no, like, he had pressure. He had pressure to live up to that number one seed.
As soon as Wentz went down, what was everyone saying? Oh, first game we're out, like...
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, first game you're out, but people wanted that number one seed, and it wasn't locked in. You had to lock it in. So he had the poor game against the Raiders on Christmas Day. He had the Giants game, and then, of course, against the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs. He looked terrible. He played terribly out there.
Giants game.
So there was pressure.
No, I'm saying, like,
I know what you're saying, but there was pressure, though. I got to your point. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, man, we'll see, because right now it's all Carson Wentz, and they went out there and they drafted themselves a quarterback, man. Thanks for the call. They drafted themselves a quarterback, and when will we see him? I don't want to see him anytime soon unless they're running some gadget trick play because you wasted a second-round pick on him, so you have to see him. But I don't want to see him at quarterback because I want Wentz to go out there and ball out. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. Anthony in West Philly on the Fanatic tonight. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up with you, man? That was pretty quick. I just called, man. I never got on that fast.
I wanted to get you in, man, because we have a short amount of time here, so I want to squeeze everybody in, especially when it's pertinent to what we're talking about.
All right, so I kind of turned on the radio, man, but it's something that's been, like, you know, kind of tickling my feather, man, for the past couple of days, and it's about the Sixers and it's about the NBA, man. Like, sitting home, watching Miami and Jimmy Butler, watching Jason Tatum do what he's doing, like, it is very, very, it's disturbing. See? Like, it got me, like, I don't know what to do with myself, Jason. And then to hear, you know, kind of Tyrone earlier saying how much he hates Jimmy Butler and how he wouldn't even like Jimmy Butler, kind of like, just talking about him and how, you know, he doesn't like him and things like that. To me, I don't even get it. I don't even understand his logic behind it.
Well, you know, that's Ty, and, you know, he can explain it better. I have heard him say, and we've talked about it ourselves, between me and him, and I disagree with him because I'm just looking at it saying, hey, the guy didn't come back. They didn't offer him the full five, and he's out there doing stuff. Does he look for the attention? Absolutely. But that doesn't bother me because the attention that he really wants at the end of the day is what he's doing now, knocking these free throws down with 7 seconds left on the clock and puts his team up five to take a 2-0 lead over Boston. I would love that with this basketball team, and I understand that he didn't come through in the clutch last year in Game 7, but it wasn't him only, right? It wasn't only him.
It was a collective
thing because he is the one who got the ball, who tied it up, and forced that possession that Toronto had at the very end. He is the one who had that it was a layup, fast break layup that he converted to tie the score up. So look.
In the fourth quarter, right?
In the fourth quarter. It was like 10 seconds left, 6 seconds left, whatever it was. And I want him to win the Eastern Conference because I don't want to see Boston win. And I'm enjoying watching him play and how they're doing things overall. I like that team.
They look like they can still win this one, too.
Yeah, they are. They're five right now. Yeah, they're up five right now with 7 seconds to go. And I just like that team. I like what they do.
Man, that team has Pat Riley,
written all over it.
100%.
The way that they play.
100%.
Like, you know, like every, the way that they're coached. Like, it just has Pat Riley written all over it. I just feel like, you know, even last year, I feel like a lot of that, you know how I feel about that dude, Brett Brown. You know me.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before, man. I feel like I put a lot of, you know, kind of what happened in that game also on coaching. Like, it was like 3 turnovers toward the end of that game. Remember, it was like a couple shot clock violations.
Yeah.
This was bad basketball, man.
Yeah.
Unpreparedness, as I would like to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, man. Who do you want the coach to be, though?
I don't have no knock on Ty Lue. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it, but I feel like, you know, coaching LeBron, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's not easy being a coach in the NBA. Period. But coaching the best player on the planet, I feel like it gives you a leg up. And I also kind of feel like, you know, we don't talk about the pressure that Ty Lue was put under, because remember, he had to take some time off. You know,
with his sickness. He had the sickness. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, come on. I'd rather see. I like Sam Cassell. I like Jay Kidd, Mark Jackson. I even look at Sacramento's old coach,
Dave Yeager.
Yeah, I even look at him. I'm not a Mike D'Antoni guy though. Like, Mike D'Antoni come here, I'm out on the Sixers. If they get Mike D'Antoni as their coach, I'm out, because I know exactly what that's going to lead to.
Okay.
I think you will not
be alone. There will be a bunch of people with you on that bus, all wearing masks and separated on the seats. Because thanks for the call, man. We'll catch up later. And
all right,
man. And a lot of people will be on that bus of do not like Mike D'Antoni. A lot of people.
I'd be on that bus.
Will be on that bus. I'm on the bus. That one, me and Tyrone will be in agreement on. I want to see this. I want to see how they do this. It's not my first choice, but if they do it, man.
I don't know.
This is, again, they'll be the talk of the NBA. They'll be the talk of the NBA again for the wrong reasons, because you've now changed coaches and, all right, with the expectations, can you live up to it? All of that stuff. They're going to be talking the NBA because the match of coach and his style with personnel and this team. Fascinating.
Devon, I got to be honest. I don't know if I have time, patience, or energy to sit through, you know, quote, I got to see this.
Fascinating.
The reason being is because we sat through, quote, give me till December. Give me till Christmas. Give us till the new year. This is the fifth iteration. You've heard me say this 100 times. I was tired of it. It was excuses at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can sit through more excuses of let's see what this does. Let's see, give this more time. Let's see what happens. It'll be fascinating. The eyes of the NBA world will be on the Sixers, and we'll be talking about it.
And to be clear, Ty, the eyes will be on them in general because they have a new coach.
No matter
who it is. But with him specifically, because of the style of play that he implements, that is going to be a talking point for many, 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 many people around the basketball world, certainly here, but around the basketball world, and then with whatever the roster turns out to be. And Miami just wins this game, and they're now up 2-0, right? Now they're up 2-0.
It's be amazing to see a 5 seed in the final. Now, obviously, they still have to close it out. We've seen teams come back from 3-1 already twice this NBA playoffs. But it would be amazing to see a 5 seed in the finals.
Oh. My goodness.
I've not seen it in a long time.
5 seed in the finals? You know, I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, you think about the teams that were lower seeds to make the finals, right? The 8 seeded, what was it, the Rockets were the 8 seed, right?
Rockets, the Knicks.
The Knicks, I know
that
the Knicks
was
were.
Strike short right. season, so that was what it was.
But, I mean, the last few seasons, it's been, you know, 1 or 2. Or the year, I think the Cavs were, what, a 3 seed? Because basically they didn't really care about the regular season.
Uh-huh.
And then went on a rampage in the playoffs. But it's been mostly 1s and 2s.
Yeah, it's pretty much been chalk overall. Yeah, I hear you. All right, man, well, look. Phillies are playing right now as well. Phillies are taking on the New York Mets, and Aaron Nola, as Tyler pointed out, did not have one of his better starts, but the bats, the lineup. They came to play, but the lineup on the other side, they have also come to play because it is now tied 6-6. It was 6-3. It is now 6-6 in the top of the sixth inning. And right now, oh boy, right now, Tommy Hunter, he is the one in the game with a 4.82 ERA.
Don't like that. I mean, to be fair, I don't like any of it.
And let's just put this out there. Six inning it is right now. I said tied at six. Well, guess what? Guess who is on the mound and guess how many runs were given up in the sixth inning? Yes. Tommy Hunter.
Three?
Well, all right, so I'm not watching, so it looks like...
I've got football in here, so that was a guess.
Yeah, the football's in here as well, but Aaron Nola, five innings pitched, five earned runs. So I'm not sure if he left the game with 7 Ks, of course, but I'm not sure if he left the game with men on base. I'm not 100% sure because we are in here, and as you pointed out, the football game is on in here. So I'm not 100% sure where all of this is coming from, but yes, it is 6-6 in the sixth inning with a man on third with Conforto at the plate.
Well, and actually, to be fair, it wasn't Hunter that allowed the runs.
That's what I said. It was Nola, right?
No, it was Blake Parker.
Oh, was it Blake Parker?
Yeah, Parker's only going to get credited for one of them because I would imagine that Nola inherited... I would guess, based on going 5 1/3, is that he inherited runners.
Okay.
Coming into the sixth inning, and Parker gave up the runs, but they're going to go credited to Nola.
Okay.
It wasn't Nola's best start. I mean, he had 5 walks, you know, and he gave up 3 runs in the first inning and kind of settled down, but this bullpen is something we've talked about all year. They're going to cost them a playoff spot. And if they do get into the playoffs, they're going to cost them a playoff series.
Not good, man.
They're 24-24.
Not good. It's a common theme with them. Not good, not good, not good. And where are they right now? Let me look it up in the standings.
By the way, did you see the stat the other day for their bullpen? 9 saves, 12 blown saves.
Mm.
That's not just like, you know, we talk about inexcusable, how the Flyers played in Game 7 was inexcusable. Carson Wentz holding onto the ball too long in certain spots is inexcusable. This bullpen, it's not inexcusable anymore. This bullpen is pathetic. And it's going to cost them.
All right, let me give you the current base. If the standings were as is and the playoffs were to start, they would be the 7th seed.
Yes.
In the playoffs, taking on the Cubs. I wouldn't dislike it.
Well, right. you figure they're the 7th seed. The game, obviously, today is not over, but they're at 500. You've got the Cardinals that are a game back of them
yep.
at 22-24.
Yep.
And then I think it's Milwaukee after that. Actually, yeah, Milwaukee by percentage points. I honestly wouldn't even trust the Phillies to beat either of those two teams.
Okay. No, I don't trust them to beat out anyone because, like you just said, don't trust them. Do not trust them. They have given us nothing to fall back on to say we should trust them. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 610-632-0975. And as we do that, let me update everyone on the injury situation with the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, it looks like, again, Miles Sanders and Derek Barnett once again practice in full. I'm looking at Tim McManus of ESPN and 97.5 The Fanatic. They practice in full on Thursday today. Lane Johnson limited, but the plan is for him to ramp it up on Friday and play Sunday. Brandon Graham currently in a concussion protocol. Vinnie Curry out for a bit with the hamstring issue, I think it was, on Sunday. He had a hammy. Vinnie Curry, so he's going to be down for a little
bit. Yeah, and Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan were saying he said it was a hamstring and it was like the worst pain of his life.
Yeah, okay. So hammy for Vinnie Curry. That means Derek Barnett, who practiced today, needs to go out there and do some stuff. You know, I have no faith in that happening. And I don't know what else they do. Josh Sweat on the outside. Malik Jackson sometimes. Jannard Avery. I don't know. They need help. They need help. They do. Let's go to Gerald in Los Angeles for our final call of the evening. What's up, G?
Hey, Devon.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's hard. It's hard seeing Jimmy Butler go out there and just keep closing and delivering. I was telling Tyler.
Continues to do it.
Who would have guessed the money would be 10-1?
Not me.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Not me.
I mean, weren't the team people saying that they might not even make the playoffs this year?
Yep.
Or to be the seventh or the eighth seed?
I got from a lot of people, yeah, that they would be in the playoffs, but they would be in the playoffs in that 6, 7, 8 seed spot, way behind the 76ers. And right now, man, they're 2 wins away from reaching the NBA Finals.
Man, and looking, winning all kinds of ways, man, just looking great defensively. I guess you got to credit the organization, man. Pat Riley came from the Lakers and that winning organization and has really installed it down there. You know, they've had their ups and downs, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's oversaw 3 different iterations of that team that, or 2 that have won championships, and now he's got this one playing like they're going to compete for one in a couple weeks.
Yep, and has success with the Knicks, of course, the Miami Heat, and now in the executive role where he's instilled that culture that they have down there, and they just come out of nowhere, man, and they're not even done. Think about what the future could be. They're going to be able to get – they have money. Gerald,
when
they can,
yeah,
it's already been talked about with Giannis. With Giannis is a possibility. It is also there are a couple other names that I heard as well that they also like. So we'll see, man.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. The other thing that was
they're good.
The other thing enjoyable to see is a coach who actually makes really good adjustments. Like they went to the zone today in the second half.
I saw that. Yeah,
and Celtics couldn't do anything with that zone, man. And I was like, wow, what an adjustment. And I just hope the Sixers hire somebody that can make those kind of adjustments and maximize what we get out of these players.
Nah, I know, G. It is tough to watch it. I understand it. But as a basketball fan, I'm enjoying just the product. How they were able to pull this whole thing off, it's been successful, and it has been good basketball. You're not the only one who cannot, or you're watching it, but I've heard Anthony and Tyrone say that they can't watch the Eastern Conference Finals because it just frustrates them because of the Sixers and where they are. But I'm enjoying it.
I can't watch.
I understand, though, their stance. I do, because it is frustrating.
I don't. I think it's a haters mentality. Like, I'm not mad at Jimmy at all. Jimmy, you know, we had him and we lost him. That's on us. So I'm not going to hate on him at all. I know it's frustrating to watch the Sixers. But I think it's good because hopefully it's showing ownership and management at the Sixers that whatever you've been thinking, y'all have been wrong and you better change your course.
Nah, I hear you, man. Well, listen, we got to get out of here, man. Be safe out there in L.A. We'll talk to you soon, man. We'll get your prediction possibly, too, on the Birds. Ty, you want to give us an update final on the way out for the Twitter poll?
Yeah, so the poll today was kind of something that we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. And it was, if you're confident in the Eagles heading into week 2, as we move forward away from the game against Washington, what makes you the most confident? Final was 342 votes on this one. It was a runaway like we talked about earlier. 74% of the people say that Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson returning gives them the most confidence. 19% say that week 1 was just one game. 5% say Doug Peterson's record versus the Rams. And just 2% say other and gave us a couple of write-in responses.
Okay. And I have to tell you about our Showtime giveaway. Tyler, go to the contest page at 975thefanatic.com to register for a chance to win free access to the Showtime pay-per-view doubleheader along with a $50 Heritage's gift card. Identical twins, Jermell and Jermall Charlo, will attempt to defend their titles in separate cards on the same night. Purchase the Charlo doubleheader within the Showtime app online at Showtime.com or contact your pay-per-view provider. Tyler, great work as always. Tomorrow we'll have our show starting at 6 with Draft Lines show with Jamie Lynch. We will get into a bunch of things presented by DraftKings with the games upcoming over the weekend. The Los Angeles Lakers game one tomorrow against the Denver Nuggets and much, much more during the Draft Line show. And then Tyler and I will go from 7 to 10 to get you ready for Eagles, Rams, and we'll give our pick segment and let you know where we were, what we did last week. So, Tyler, thanks so much. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweets. Barrett Brooks, thank you. And everybody who listened, we'll be back tomorrow starting at 6 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.